Welcome to the Engagement Fit Drive podcast. We're so happy to have you join us. And together with Tracy, Andrew, and Claire, let's make bringing your drives to life practical and fun. In our drives and action episodes, we'll share stories of drives at play in everyday scenarios so you can relate and gain deeper understanding of your drives. In our Driving Impact episodes, we'll sit down with incredible guests who are using the Drive framework and tools to create meaningful impact, both professionally and personally. Whether you're here to better understand yourself, your team, or simply curious about living a thriving and inspired life, you're in the right place. So let's dive in.
Welcome to this episode of The Relating Domain and How They Influence Communication. In our recent episodes, number 19 and 20, we explored the thinking and the accomplishing domains and how they influence communication. Today, we turn our attention to the relating domain, the drives that connect, support, and align people. These drives shape how we communicate, build trust, and maintain emotional balance within teams. They're the human heartbeat of organizations. The drives that make workplaces feel alive and connected. In this episode, we'll unpack each of the 10 relating drives. From the expressive articulator who brings ideas to life through storytelling, to the empathetic caretaker who creates emotional safety.
We're going to start off with the articulator. As the names have very deep meaning to it, it is also very easy to understand. An articulator articulates. So the primary motivation of an articulator is to express themselves and to check that everyone has the same understanding. A core contribution for articulator is its verbal communication. Articulators speak with their hands. They're good at presenting and storytelling or training. They hold a communication that influences others. They think out loud, process the ideas verbally before any conclusions form. And they value clarity, they value expression, and they need feedback and they want to feel heard in their communication. They draw a lot of energy from interaction and from dialogue, and they use tone, they use story to inspire. A good trait of an articulator is that they're expressive and an engaging communicator. They can sometimes dominate conversations or overshare when they get excited.
Yeah, I think you've expressed that drive so beautifully in terms of their influence on communication. And from articulators that I've met, dominant articulators, they kind of are very big personalities. They can be expressive and communicate in other ways, art or dancing, or, you know, there's various ways that they can communicate and be able to express themselves. When they can tend to over-communicate, like you said, and overshare. And I think it's because they feel that need to fill that silence. They fill that silence unnecessarily. And it might make others feel unheard because that sense of pausing is a bit foreign to them because they're having to process their words by listening to their words.
When articulators are draining for you, you might find that an articulator could be long-winded. Like, can you just get to the point type of thing? And all the articulator wants to do is they want to express.
That's such a valid point. And I think when you're around an articulator, exactly that. Say, are you just processing or are these your thoughts that you really want to share with me? Is this the ideas you've come up with? Or, you know, where are you in the process? I think that could be quite useful.
I've got an articulator as one of my drives. It's not one of my dominant ones. It's quite my own. And there literally would be times where, without even thinking, I would say, I'm speaking out loud. I'm processing my thoughts and whatever. And I would get the greatest of insights by talking something through. And even mid-sentence, I would stop myself and go, oh, this is what it is. So I can understand where that comes from. Yeah. Perhaps up the articulator, but I'm actually leaning heavily on Tracy for the caretaker. And caretaker traces, but caretaker quite high up in, you know, dominant drives. And they literally, if I come across any caretakers, I just know who they are because they support the needs and the emotions of others. That is the primary. This is like one of their motivations when it comes to even communicating, checking if the person is okay. They sense, they caretakers sense individuals, their needs, their emotions, and they offer empathetic support. And when you think of the influences that, the caretaker brings, they are highly intuitive and they read unspoken emotional cues. It's like they almost read between the lines, but they also pick up on the unspoken emotional cues. And they communicate through empathy and reassurance. And they honestly do prefer harmony and emotional safety in conversation and for everybody else. They don't just take care of their own needs. They take care of everybody else's needs as well. So when it comes to conversation, they want the emotional safety for even those that are involved in this communication, in this conversation that we are having. They may avoid conflict to preserve connection. I need to put out a disclaimer. With any of these drives, we are looking at them solely as an independent drive and not looking at the other drives that may influence this. They are emotionally intelligent. Like, it's just a natural emotional intelligence and deeply compassionate. I was speaking to a client and he had caretaker. And I said to him, so you're the type of guy that when someone is crying, you end up crying with them and you sit in the ACBs.
That's very true. And I think that emotional intelligence comes from that ability to sense emotions. I mean, that's, you know, we know how people are feeling before they even say anything. We know how they're feeling. And it is sensing. It can also be, we're very in tune with the nonverbal, the body language, the posture, the tone of people's voices. So I think there's just such an awareness to communication. And I think with the caretaker, it's more nonverbal that we're in tune with. So definitely sensing the needs of others. So they are able to build huge emotional safety for people. When you are around a caretaker, you feel emotionally safe. You feel they've got you and they provide that emotional safety.
They can absorb others' emotions and kind of lose personal boundaries. And when it comes to communication, maybe you just need to help us with that. Because when you kind of lose, like, you're caring more about the other person, what happens there?
Yeah, so I just also wanted to comment on when you said earlier that they actually don't spend enough taking time care of themselves. They really care more about others. That's something that doesn't actually enter our minds is actually taking care of ourselves. So it's something we do have to think about. And there absolutely has to be boundaries because we will take on other people's emotions and we will be there in the pit with them. And I don't always agree with that. We can support, we can be empathetic, we can be compassionate, but there's no use us both drowning. So I almost have my hand out and say, I've got you and I know what you're going through. I can feel what you're going through. I'm here for you. But to protect ourselves and our own emotions, especially if you work with where most caretakers are, where they are attuned into the people's needs, if whether you're a nurse, whether you're a therapist, you cannot take on all that emotional stuff every single day. You have to learn to, you know, and Claire, I think I was terrible with that. Honestly, I'd be a basket case. But I think what I've learned to do is celebrate people's emotions. And I say, I am so happy that you're feeling the way you are because now this is information. This is the push. This is the sign, whatever it is, you have to feel what you're feeling so you make different decisions, new choices, whatever that looks like for you. So I say celebrate it. Let's sit with this emotion and where's it coming from? Where do we need to pivot? When they're ready, of course. So very caring, very empathetic. As you said earlier, this individual will have the team's hearts, you know, in their hands and they'll be the ones whenever there's anything really sensing, emotional that comes up. Get the caretaker involved because they will be the ones that can hold space for that person. And just bearing in mind about crossing those lines or being over-involved in other people's emotions, because not everybody wants you to be there either. And we will naturally go there because we feel pulled to going in there to help that person.
Is it easy to communicate as a caretaker, Trace?
I think it's difficult and I'm speaking for myself, to communicate my own emotions. I struggle with it. But I can easily communicate with people talking about their emotions. That's such a good question, Claire, because I think a lot of people don't know what to do when people are emotional. They avoid it. They don't want to deal with it. Maybe they get more clinical. And that is the worst thing you can do for a caretaker, because we need our emotions validated. And I say you don't have to have the answers, but just hold space for that person. Even if it's, I hear you, or I can see you upset. That's all you have to say. You don't have to fix it. You don't have to come up with a solution, but just hold that space. But a lot of people, really, they don't know what to do, especially if it's a drainer for you. So in the doing what we do, Claire, I really do help a lot of people who have caretakers a drainer, really help them overcome this, you know, especially parents. We have caretakers a drainer. I really try and help them with this. But that's a great question.
Awesome. Yeah, we're dealing with how communication is influenced, and I would assume, and also from dealing with other clients of mine, it's a struggle because they can communicate everyone else's how they are feeling, like, but when it comes to my own, it's difficult to put to words, basically. That's what I've heard. So, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And if we don't communicate our own emotions, how can we get them validated? Yeah.
Yeah. Confidant. Confidant is all about trust and authenticity. Confidants have a core inner circle of people that they will really communicate with. It's not to say that they are bad communicators. It's not to say that they don't communicate. You really do need to build and nurture trust with them and be authentic in that. They are long-term loyal. They are authentic and they are trusting relationships. The confidant will spot someone for not being authentic and will completely shut down. So confidants have a few, I want to call it like inner circle people that they would really communicate their heart's desires to. But there's a lot of things that a confidant will just never, ever repeat. So when we're talking about communication and how it's influenced by the confidant, a confidant communicates with sincerity and with depth. So they can't go into sincerity and depth if they don't know that who they are communicating with, they can trust them. It's long-term, it's loyal. They value trust. Trust is a big value for confidants. And the openness of trust builds their confidence in conversation. It takes a long time for a confidant to open up completely to someone that they are forced to. Let's say in a work scenario, where they would be cordial, they would be professional, but it doesn't mean that you would get to know the whole life history of a confidant. They avoid superficiality. They prefer real, meaningful dialogue. And they're protective of their privacy and loyalty in communication. They are incredibly good at keeping secrets. Everyone ends up going to a confidant with their secrets because they will pretty much take it to the grave. They don't speak to anyone. They hold privacy and trust that important to them. Authentic and trustworthy communicator. You'll almost know that when you are dealing with a confidant, you can trust what it is that they are talking about. I'm painting a very broad picture here, but in terms of the communication style, it's going to be trustworthy. They would have done their fact checking. They would run it because they hold trust so dearly to them, to their as a core value. Something that maybe we can be aware of when dealing with or communicating with a confidant is it may feel like they're being exclusive or they withdraw. It's not because you are not part of the inner circle. You've got to really build up the trust in order to get a confidant to open up to you. A confidant will be, from a confidant's perspective, they would be exclusive and they will withdraw, especially when they feel that the trust has been broken or has been breached, which feels like it is breaking.
Absolutely, Claire. They will break those ties very quickly when their trust is broken. Claire, can I add on to the fact checking? Their fact checking is an inbuilt radar detector. They know when people are not being honest because they're so in tune with trust and confidentiality and what is right with them. Just as we said, as the caretaker can provide an emotional safety space, the confidant can provide a psychological safety space where you know that, like what you said, what you share with them. And confidence, obviously, find it quite funny when we say to them, Claire, but people come and tell you things you would never say to anybody. And they go, yes, that's true. Because people really feel safe with them. And As you said, they don't really do small talk. They really want
They
that
don't
deep
mince their
meaning.
words.
No. And for them also one-on-one is better because why? They're building that deep connection with that person.
Enthusiast. Something Trace and I can speak on quite easily because we both have enthusiasts as our dominant drives. A primary motivation for any enthusiast in their communication, and our communication is influenced by the enthusiast, is optimism, to be optimistic, to lift the mood, engage with people in a positive environment, and inject fun and energy and enthusiasm. Their communication is influenced or influences big on humor, on energy to uplift others, communicates with excitement and with warmth. Thrives in an interactive and positive environment, and they may use optimism to steer away from negativity. They may make light of a lot of things. I don't want to call them the jokers, but they would be very likely to crack jokes. They would to lift the mood, to also say that it's a bit heavy in here, I can't deal with it. They would lift the mood, and they don't do negative. They also inspire hope and bring joy to conversations. Sometimes you've got these heavy conversations, and an enthusiast, I don't want to say they'll make light of the situation, as in like make a joke out of it, but they will bring the hope and they will bring the joy to that conversation, so it's not as heavy as it feels. And then when you are communicating with an enthusiast, they can become overly positive or dismissive of serious emotions. And it's because an enthusiast doesn't necessarily want to go there. It takes a lot to get them out of it. So they keep conversation very light. They keep conversation, I don't want to say as in like it's not as deep as a confidant. They can go into the deep conversations, but it's going to be a little more lighthearted than some of the other drives.
And I just want to tell our listeners that we're going to be doing a podcast on the skeptic contrast enthusiast, which is going to be amazing. We've got some amazing guests coming on that podcast. But on that note, if enthusiast is a drainer for you, I just like to say that we all have a little bit of these drives. We have all 29 of these drives in us. And
Yes, we do.
enthusiasts, like you said, Claire, we need hope. You know, in the world that we live in, to see a bit of hope, to see the sunshine, to see the light at the end of the tunnel. And I just want to say to the skeptics, it's not that they don't see the negatives, but they don't want to, that's not where their focus is. They want to say, we can get through this. I see the problems, but we're not going to harp on that and bring that enthusiasm and positivity, which let's face it, every team needs an enthusiast.
Yes, they
And
do.
what they just have to manage, the enthusiast, is they can be a bit overwhelming. They can be a bit loud. They can be a bit intense. They've also got to learn to read the room. So where do I need to inject positivity and hope? And where are we a bit serious, but I can still bring my positivity, but just tone it down a bit.
I agree with you. I think that in a lot of teams, an enthusiast can bring a complete different dimension to that team and could really change all of the dynamics. And maybe it's a bit underplayed or in the corporate from what I've seen, maybe sometimes it's a bit oppressed or suppressed because this is not the time or the space.
I'm actually working with a team at the moment. They're in engineering, Claire. And every single one of those men in their team, they have enthusiasts in the top nine. I was
Yes.
actually, I was, it's quite mind-blowing, but when you work with this team, you can literally feel that energy in the room. You feel that they have each other's backs. You feel that there's always a way forward. You feel it's actually brilliant. And a lot of them have got the skeptic enthusiast contrast. And I just think it brings such a different angle to that team. So it's very interesting, that dynamic, that combination.
Thank you for sharing that, Tracy. The guardian, what motivates the communication with the guardian is actually like values and principles, integrity, values, principles. Core contribution is upholding clear values. They want to uphold the values, they want to uphold the principles and ethics and driving forward a meaningful cause. The guardians can be very strong-willed, they can be very stubborn, but they communicate with such conviction and moral clarity. And they are so grounded in purpose And they speak from values rather than from emotions. So it can be quite clinical because values, depending on who you are, you may value something and it would be so important that you would always fight for it and that what a guardian would do. They listen for fairness as well and integrity in others' words. And they can sound very firm in just by their presence and in their communication style. It comes across as sounding very firm when defending what they believe is right. And a positive thing about that is that you know that the communication that comes from a guardian, similar to our confidant, is that it's trustworthy and it's principled, like it's a principled communicator. They would talk to you very much about, oh, but this is right and this is how it should be, very much principled. If you need to be aware of anything, if you are dealing with guardians when you're communicating, guardians may come across as quite rigid, judgmental when challenged. And if you are communicating with someone that you suspect may have guardian, it's very much a right or wrong. It's black or white. There's very little room for a gray area in between. And if you do challenge them, their response may come across as a bit stingy or judgmental.
Yeah, I think of myself as a young guardian, definitely inflexible. And with me, in a caretaker, I'm going to be emotionally charged. I think where guardian can come a bit unstuck is that inflexibility. When you're young and you're not sure of your values, you kind of have you're principled about a lot of things. So getting clear on your values, you know what you're going to stand up for and what you're going to fight for. And every guardian's different. My guardian is, do not hurt an animal in front of me. I will take you out. I don't care who you are. So that's one thing that will trigger me. Whereas your values are not the same as my values, and that's okay.
When you spoke earlier about the confidant that brings psychological safety, for me, the psychological safety would be because of my guardian and my confidant. So I would make sure that people around me are treated fairly and they're not being bullied, whether it is verbal, whatever it is. I just don't stand for that. I opinionated and I really would become very vocal about it.
And with regards to team, again, the guardian is going to protect and uphold that team and the, you know, and even the ethics. Their communication is going to be very moral, ethical. They're going to be very strong on that. And they will stand up for that team and protect that team.
Yes, they do. Impact player wants to make a difference. They need to make a difference. The contribution in conversation or the impact player themselves, they stretch something or someone towards higher levels of excellence and success to make a meaningful impact. So the communication influences, they communicate with passion and with purpose. And with purpose, as in like, not just like your life purpose, but they are intentional about the communication. They focus on results and one's conversation that lead to growth. It's not to say that they don't have small talk, but you're going to get them way more engaged when you're talking about things and how they can grow. They encourage and they challenge others towards excellence, and they are motivated by seeing real-world progress from dialogue. So if we're going to have a conversation about how we're going to do this, we want to see the results from it as an impact player. They inspire action and meaningful improvement. And if you are an impact player, something that you need to be aware of, or even if you are communicating with an impact player, is impact players can push a little too hard sometimes. They don't necessarily see it as being pushing a little too hard, and they may appear a bit demanding, especially under pressure. So if you are dealing with an impact player and they seem a bit demanding or they push too hard, understand that their communication style is that they are gunning for a big impact. They are wanting a big impact, and they are pushing you because they also believe in you so much, and they literally are trying to uplift that.
You can definitely feel an impact player's communication. I think with me being a caretaker, they can be very challenging. They're so focused on the results that that can overshadow empathy and patience. They can definitely feel intolerant. And remember, they're quite hard to please because their level of excellence is another level that the rest of us don't even know what that level is sometimes. I do encourage them to communicate that. Is what your level of excellence is not the same as others. You need to communicate what that looks like. But as a caretaker, they don't even have to say things sometimes. You can feel that energy, or it's just a look that you get. Or so I'm just encouraging impact players that you're not even aware, because you go into this results driven, we've got to reach the next level. I will take my team, and it is a relating drive. I will take my team with me. I want to take my team up. You know, that is the beauty that an impact player brings to a team, is reaching that next level of excellence. It is about purpose and results, and you can hear that in their communication.
Includer. To include and be included. Why can they invite everyone into the conversation? They just want to bring people together to facilitate productive, collaborative teamwork in the workspace, representing and giving a voice to those who are marginalized. But in a social setting, nobody gets left behind. This is like Ohana. It's like this person didn't hear what we just spoke about, and they'll go and repeat it or something. Communication influences, ensures everyone feels seen and heard. Nobody must get left behind. They communicate with fairness and inclusivity. They create a belonging to empathy and through openness. And they may downplay conflict to avoid exclusion. They create safe spaces for collaboration and connection. Nobody must feel left out. So come along, come along, come along. You're invited. That's the typical language that you would hear when you include. It's fine. I don't think they would mind. Come with us. Try to be aware of, if you are that included, is that you can sometimes overextend trying to include everyone. And if you are dealing with an includer, if you are the one that's communicating with them, tell them why you wanted one-on-one time with them and not everyone can join. I'm trying to build a relationship with you, for instance. And if other people are there, I don't need to spend that one-on-one time with you. And they will understand it. They might feel a bit hurt by it, but because an intruder doesn't want anyone left out. I was speaking to someone that has included as a drainer, and I was talking to her about it and about her drainers. And I said, intruder is a drainer for you. So you want that. And she had confidant as dominant. And I said, so when you go out and you're meeting with friends or you're going on a date with your husband, you don't want double dates. You want that alone time. She says, it irritates me. I think my husband is an includer. Immediately, she was like, he's always inviting other people. Well, then I can't. And it made sense to her at that point.
And they may even invite themselves without invitation because they that need to include. They're very welcoming, very warm. They will be the people doing the onboarding. They'll make people feel so welcome on their very first day. Give them that role. They'll thrive in it. It's really an inclusive drive where they want to include everybody.
Everyone's got a part to play. I thought you were going to play, but come along. Come along. There's more space. There's always space.
Yes.
They'll make the circle bigger kind of group, yeah?
Absolutely.
Networker. Coming off the back of includer, the networker wants to win people over, whereas the includer wants to include everyone. Networkers, they're meeting and they're connecting with a lot of people all of the time. So they're really good at selling, at networking. They are very outgoing, very approachable. The communication style as well, not necessarily inclusive, but it is one that is warm and welcoming and says something that I need from you. I need to have this conversation. They build rapport very quickly through charm and confidence, and they enjoy lively conversation and shared experiences. They create dynamic social energy, fast connections. They are the people that will introduce. Let me introduce Tracy to this person, to that person. Oh, you don't know this person. I met them here last week or whatever it is. In communicating with a networker, they may seem insincere if they are juggling too many conversations, too many relationships, because they've got so many things going on at the same time. And it feels a bit insincere.
They value breadth over depth. Remember, now the confident goes deep. The networker is, how many people can I meet at this meeting? I want to meet as many people as I can. I want to find out about people, you know, and it's almost like it's like an exploratory thing. They're excited to meet new people. And what can I learn from this person? What can I sell them? Or what can I tell them? Or how can I win them over? With them, it's very much about winning over. that whole conversation is, why do they even want to meet that person? So they easily feel comfortable with new people. They easily build rapport, something common to speak about. And yes, we call them the social butterflies. But if you're a confidant, you are going to find them a bit insincere because, you know, they'll be talking to you. And if it's not going quite the way they want, they're like, oops, you're going to get a glass of wine and you won't see them again. You know, they'll be flittering onto the next person without a care in the world because their focus is on meeting new people, that they get energized by meeting new people. And yeah, I think it's, you know, that's why they make such great salespeople, because they easily build rapport. They easily feel comfortable with other people, where is for a lot of people, networker is a drainer. Having to be outgoing and bubbly and your energy is, you energize by being around strangers and new people. That's really draining for a lot of people. But it's something that fills their cup and they love many connections. So again, where the confidant is that make the circle smaller, definitely the networker is, are we going to make that circle bigger through as many conversations as possible?
Natural. One of the biggest motivations for nurturing is growth. It's in developing and nurturing potential in others and to support that growth. So their communication or how their communication is influenced by this is they communicate in encouraging and affirming others. Very big encouragement, very big affirmation. They focus on others' strengths and their progress. They ask guiding questions that promote self-reflection. They use patience and reassurance as communication tools. And they really do help others believe in their own growth. Nurturers do that. Sometimes we tend to have other people that have got more faith or more belief in us than we do ourselves. The nurturers see that potential. They see that growth. And they will be vocal about how much they believe in someone. For a nurturer to be aware of avoiding direct feedback, to protect others' feelings. They're so caring about the other person's growth and their feelings that sometimes they won't give the positive criticism or the direct feedback that is required for that person to grow.
You're going to feel warmth from them and compassion. And they believe in other people. That person may not even believe in themselves, but the nurturer has that belief. And that's where the reassurance and the patience, they're very, very patient. You will feel that. You won't, being around an impact play, the energy of an impact play is going to be a lot more intense. You're going to feel that. The nurture, you're going to feel a calm reassurance. You'll feel that patience from them, even from their body language, from the way they speak. There's a lot of very encouraging feelings behind their communication. And they just need to be aware, again, like the caretaker, they can take on other people's burdens.
The supporter, they just want to support people. They are there to support everyone. They need to know who needs what and by when. So the communication as well would be around the lines of, what do you need? And reliably responding to the support needs of others and other functions. And being independently accountable for the own deliverables. So you're going to hear things from a supporter. What do you need? Don't worry, I got this. I will complete it. They take full accountability. They take psychological ownership of whatever it is that they've been tasked to do or that they've said, it's fine, I can help you. The communication influences for any supporter is that they first seek to understand before speaking. So they listen first. They listen because they need to understand what is it that you need. That would be the first thing that comes out, and prefer clarity and stability. They want the clarity, they want the stability, and they encourage through reliability and presence. So they encourage everyone by also reassuring them, it's fine, I got this, don't worry about it, I will take this on board. And they will keep it, the accountability stays with them until such time as they need to hand over a project. So they tend to also avoid conflict, and they prefer cooperative dialogue. They want two-way. They don't just want a one-way. And they're always checking on the other person's needs. Again, they can suppress their own personal needs to maintain harmony. Same like the caretaker, the same like the nurturer. They need a bit of a boundary there to say, you know, this is where it actually ends. But in order to maintain harmony, a support is not going to do that. They'll pretty much just continue as it was, the status quo was. They are dependable and calm in their communication, even under pressure. You won't pick up that a supporter is under pressure through their communication. They might be burning on the inside, but their communication won't be reflective of it.
On that note, I think they provide dependable feedback and follow-up, but in saying that, they also want that. You need to give them feedback. They need to know how they're doing, what is their progress up. Because remember, this is the drive that gives 200%. They will take on a lot. And what I encourage supporters to do in their communication is always pause. Before they say yes to something, pause. Do I have the capacity? Is it for me to do? Am I enabling or empowering if I take this on? And also to communicate. This is what I feel that they struggle with, their communication, because they're quick to say yes and take on things because they don't want to let people down. They don't think to say, yes, I'm happy to do that, but please note, I'm not going to get to this list of things. And then they take it all on, and then they've got to figure out how it all is going to get done because they're not going to not do it. So I think by communicating, yeah, I'm happy to do this, but I'm not going to get to those things, it gives them stability as well to take on what they're taking. So they can definitely become overly accommodating and passive. It's in their nature. They want to support. Remember, that need is met. So they will definitely be inclined to silence their own views also to maintain harmony. They won't rise up and say, actually, this is not working for me right now. So definitely being able to assert their needs and that pausing, I think, is very important for them. Because they will never say, once they've said yes, they will never go and then say no.
Back and say, you know what, I said yes to this, but actually I don't have capacity. I'm sorry, I can't do it.
What? Yes. And you know, they're such a great team player because they bring reliability. They're steady, they're consistent. And you, as you said, Claire, you will see that in their communication.
Thanks for joining us on this exciting journey of self-discovery and fulfillment. We hope you found inspiration, practical takeaways, and maybe a deeper understanding of how drives work in action. If you want to discover your drives, head over to engagementfit.com and take the drive assessment. If you love this episode, remember to hit the subscribe button. We'd also love to hear your thoughts, so leave us a review or share this episode with someone who's ready to unlock their drives and thrive. Until next time, keep driving towards a life of meaningful impact.